You're listening to The Garden Show with Peggy Ballester-Howells on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. Join the conversation live. Our phone lines are open, 732-545-9282. That's 732-545-WCTC.
Ballester-Howells, and we're here on 1450 to until 10 o'clock this morning to answer your gardening questions. I'm here with...
You're here with Jared.
Hey, Jared.
Hello.
We're getting close.
Yeah, I'm looking at the calendar.
So how many days till Christmas?
20.
And it's Hanukkah. Aren't we finishing up Hanukkah?
Tonight is the last night.
Well, I made latkes.
I made a few times this week.
Did you? A few times.
Yeah.
Oh, I only made them once. I have to let Marty know that I used his wonderful latke recipe. Marty from Metuchen from Monroe gave me that recipe how many years ago? Many years ago. I've made many latkes since then. But my very good friend, David, who is a retired Jewish doctor, has no one to make him latkes these days. So we invite him down. It's become a tradition. I think this is the third or fourth year I've made him latkes on Hanukkah. And, of course, my family loves them. And we had a great time and thoroughly enjoyed them. And they come out just as good this year as they do every year. But this is kind of interesting. I use my witch's hat to make the latkes. Do you know what I'm talking about, Jared?
It's something about... removing moisture.
Yes,
it's
like a colander that comes to a point, and it has a pestle in it, a wooden pestle that you squeeze the water out. And you can actually, if you really wanted to, you could press even harder, and then everything would come out through the sides like a ricer. But really, I use it to squeeze all the water out. And David was fascinated by that particular tool. And he told his son about it, who does a lot of cooking, and wanted to know if he could get him one. And I was like, well, you know, I call it a witch's hat. So we went online and I searched for, because I know it has a French name. So I searched for pointy French colander and actually found it. It's called, the real name is a chinois, C-H-I-N-O-I-S, chinois. I guess if you call it that, you can charge more money for it.
I think that's how that works.
But anyway, yes, it's called a chinois. And I use it for... two things primarily, latkes being one. And the other thing I use it for is to make the pumpkin when I cook down a pumpkin, which I'm going to do today. I have a cheese pumpkin and I need to cook it down so that I can make my pumpkin pies. I try to freeze like 2.5 cups of the cooked down pumpkin per pie. And so I need to do that. So that's one of the things on Christmassy things on the agenda today. So I'm going to have to get my reciprocating saw out, take the blades out, scrub them nicely so they're good and clean, and then I'm going to cut my cheese pumpkin in half, and then I can put it on cookie sheets upside with the cut side down and bake it in the oven. And it'll take a while to cook down. It has to be really, really soft before you pull it out of the oven. And we're going to do that while we are decorating the Christmas tree. I'm wearing my Christmas dinosaur sweater. Did you notice?
You are. You look very festive.
Thank you. I'm wearing my red fuzzy coat, my red boots. I am ready to go get my Christmas tree and put it up. I am very excited. It is a wonderful time of year. Very exciting. My dining room is covered with Christmas presents and kitchen appliances. So it's a mess. You're supposed to ask, why is it covered with kitchen appliances, Jared?
Why is it covered with kitchen appliances?
Because I finally finished the ceiling on the porch on the barn. I showed
you
pictures.
Great. Yeah, that looks amazing.
So it's very interesting looking and fun, and it was a huge job. And so that's done. So I have moved on to the kitchen. The kitchen has been totally functional for, you know, since we moved in. Well, not right when we moved in. We were missing some major appliances initially, but right after we moved back into the house, we got everything. It's been totally functional, but not painted and not finished. And I've been hesitating, finishing it because I wanted to get everything else done because the kitchen was functional and some of the other rooms were not. So I wanted to get everything functional before I, worked on the room that was, just needed aesthetics. But the aesthetics are enormous because there are three doors in that room, the back door, the door into the pantry, and the door into the basement. And all of them have multiple layers of paint. And somewhere in there, about three or four layers of paint down, there was a oil-based surface and a latex paint put on it without any proper preparation. And when you go to scrape or sand, it peels off in strips in some places. And some places I can't get it off. So prepping those doors has been looming as a nightmare. And now that I'm actually working on it, it's no longer looming. It's actually a nightmare. But I'm working on it, try to work on it a little every day. And my goal is to have it done for Christmas. So I had to move all the appliances out so that they don't get, you don't want sanding stuff to get in the toaster,
No, definitely not.
Definitely not. So I moved all that stuff out and it's all on the dining room table. And I'm trying to, so I have one surface done, one door surface. So I have three doors. The exterior door is already painted on the outside, so I don't have to do that. But the pantry door and the basement door have to be done on both sides. So that's five door surfaces. I have two done. I have three more to go. And then everything's going to need at least a light sanding after that. So we'll see. But that's what I'm working on. But the ceiling's done, Jared. The ceiling is done.
It is. It looks great.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Big project. And also, Tommy's birthday present from last year is done. We hired Sid Woolley to make one of the horse stalls in the barn a workshop, and we finally got that done. It came out great. So we've been really working on the house a lot, obviously, and there's a really skinny stall in the middle of the barn. I don't know what kind of animal they put in there, but it had a manger in it, and so somebody was in there, and that's going to be a great place to put our bicycles. So we're kind of like just getting settled in and doing all this stuff that I don't have time for during the growing season. Because during the growing season, what am I doing, Jared?
You're growing.
I'm growing, yes. Working in the garden all the time. So, this is the time of year to get all that other stuff done. And we have to rearrange the furniture today to put the Christmas tree in. We're going to go get the Christmas tree at Jack's today. Tommy's here with me. Well, not with me. He's in the truck. He has Wi-Fi in the truck. So he's sitting in the truck working on his computer so that he can go with me to get the Christmas tree because he wants to see Jack's beautiful farm. Have you seen that yet, Jared?
Not yet, no.
Well, it's almost around the corner from here. It's not, it's very close. Just go down 27. It's on Skillman's Lane. So it's a hop, skip, and a jump from here. So we're going to head over there after the show and get our Christmas tree, which I'm very excited about because we picked out another magnificent, perfect tree. And last year, the Christmas tree lasted green until the weather got hot in June. And we had it inside, and then we moved it out onto the porch, just sitting there, not in water or anything. And it stayed green until the weather got hot. And then all of a sudden it turned brown. And of course, we had to get rid of it at that point. But yes, he has great trees. I'm very excited about going over there. So that's, we're going to spend the day cooking down pumpkin and decorating the tree. Remember, there's a lot of things you need to remember if you're putting up the tree. You want to make sure you give it a fresh cut. Of course, we're cutting ours, fresh right now, so we may not need to give it a fresh cut when we get home. If it sits out for long, then maybe we will, but it doesn't need too much of a fresh cut since it's getting cut fresh. If you buy one that's at a Christmas tree, what would you call that? A temporary Christmas tree stand? Is that?
I think so.
A stand? Okay. And that was cut a while ago. You definitely want to give it a fresh cut. I recommend cutting it at a slight angle so that the pores that go feed the tubes inside the tree are bigger. The openings are bigger. They're oval shaped when you cut it at an angle instead of round. And it's more difficult to clog up, which is the problem with Christmas trees, is that bacteria gets in the water and then it goes into the tubes, the plumbing of the tree, and then it blocks it up and it can't take up any more water. So that's why you need to give it a nice fresh cut so that it's all open and fresh. And you have to keep the water in there continually. Never let the water go below the cut end of the tree. That's very important. And you don't want to put sugar in the water or aspirin in the water. It doesn't do anything. If you happen to have one of those little flour packets that you get with cut flowers that has a water preservative in it, you can do that. You can put that in. If you don't have one of those, a couple of tablespoons of lemon lime diet soda. And the reason you prefer the diet soda is there's no sugar in it. There's no sugar in diet soda. And soda, the lemon lime soda is slightly acidic, so it lowers the pH of the water, making it less conducive to bacterial growth. And it also has a little bit of preservative in it. So if you put all that in the water, that is a much better thing to do than anything else. You definitely don't want to put sugar. I grew up, my family told me to put sugar in, and that just feeds the bacteria. So I don't know who came up with that idea. But I guess the idea that the plants need sugar and they make sugar, I guess it makes some sense from that point of view. But it does more harm than good because the sugar feeds the bacteria. So you don't want to do that. So lots going on. I have lots of things to report on in addition to that, what's going on in the garden. But we'll talk about that when we get back. The number here, 545-9282. Outside the 732 area code, it's 1-888-545-9282. And we have four open lines. So if you give us a call, we will get you on the air as soon as we get back from this.
Now the Fox Sports New Jersey weather forecast. We have some sun this morning. Clouds roll in as we head into the afternoon, mid and upper 40s. Tonight cloudy with some light showers overnight towards morning, low near 40. Tomorrow cloudy, warm and becoming quite windy. The morning showers taper off, but then we have some rain in the afternoon with the cold front and windy. Upper 50s to near 60. Tomorrow night clouds and showers taper off, lower 40s to lower 30s. And on Tuesday, look for a mix of sun and clouds and windy, lower 40s. I'm WeatherWorks' Tony Salimo on Fox Sports New Jersey.
30 degrees in Central Jersey.
'Tis the season to kick off our first annual Magic of Christmas Toy Drive. Fox Sports Radio New Jersey has teamed up with Magyar Bank to collect new unwrapped toys for all the kids at the Children's Hospital at St. Peter's University Hospital to help spread some holiday cheer this year. From now until December 17th, you can stop by the Fox Sports Radio New Jersey studios to drop off your donations. Or if you have a Magyar Bank in your area, you can stop by and make a donation there as well. We are looking for toy donations suitable for infants through teens, because every child deserves to experience the magic of Christmas. For more info, go to foxsportsradionewjersey.com.
Shop on eBay this holiday season to get more for your dough on stand mixers. Or get more for your buck on this season's hottest tech and gaming gear. And on eBay, you can even get more Cyber Monday rewind the clock deals. Cyber Monday prices are back for one day only. Get more and save more on premium brands with eBay's can't miss Monday deals. Get more when you get it on eBay.
Everyone's favorite time of the year is here again. That means it's time to visit the Christmas shop at Fama's Nursery, located at 1613 Route 27 in Somerset. Fama's Nursery, specializing in fresh-cut Christmas trees straight from the farm, customized grave blankets, wreaths, gorgeous poinsettias, and fresh baked pies made daily. This year, there's also delicious wood-fired pizza to go. Give your home the scent of the season with their fragrant handmade garlands, all at affordable prices. They also offer an abundant supply of seasoned firewood, guaranteed to keep your family warm all winter long. Fama's Nursery is family-owned and operated, serving Middlesex and Somerset counties for almost 70 years. Avoid the long lines and maddening crowds and go to Fama's Nursery, where the staff gives every patron the care and attention you won't find at any chain store. Call them at 732-545-8070 or visit them on Facebook. Open 7 days, 9 to 6. This special time of year requires a special type of store. So go to the Christmas shop at Fama's Nursery, where they do holidays the old-fashioned way. One customer at a time.
Honey, I'm home. I've got a surprise for you. Ugh.
Get that filthy, disgusting tire out of my living room. You're on my favorite rug.
Calm down. You're gonna love this.
What? Whoa. The goldfish bowl.
I won't run over them. Relax.
You roll that tire right back out of here.
Relax. It's all part of my master plan to save us money.
This is not going to be our coffee table. Don't even think about putting a piece of glass on top.
No, honey. This is a reminder to keep our tires properly inflated so we can save money on gas.
Can't we just tie a string around our fingers?
Sweetie, properly inflated tires could save us more money at the pump than a week's worth of gas.
You're getting tire tracks on my love seat.
Exactly. To remind us that we love saving gas with properly inflated tires.
What's wrong with a sticky note on the dashboard?
Discover smarter ways to save hundreds of dollars on gas and help the environment, too, at the Alliance to Save Energy's website, drivesmarterchallenge.org.
Hey, Let's put the sticky note on the tire.
You're listening to The Garden Show with Peggy Ballester-Howells on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. Join the conversation live. Our phone lines are open. 732-545-9282. That's 732-545-WCTC.
Welcome back, excuse me, to The Garden Show. I'm Peggy Ballester-Howells, and I'm here with...
You're here with Jared.
So, Jared, you said you have some things you would like to share with our listening audience.
I do. Usually it's about the time of year when we talk about the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree.
Yes, the grandest Christmas tree in the world, I think.
That's right. We actually missed the lighting. It happened this past Wednesday.
Okay. Was Elf there?
Probably.
Probably, yes. Okay.
So this year it's a Norway spruce from a family in Elkton, Maryland. And actually this is the first time the Rockefeller Center tree came from Maryland.
Yeah, that's kind of a long way to go. Usually think of them in upstate New York, you know,
right,
and
exactly.
That's maybe Vermont or New Hampshire, but Maryland doesn't seem like the place to get a giant Christmas tree.
Maryland is actually, it's a really, even driving down 95, it's very scenic. It really is.
It's scenic, true. I'm not doubting that at all. I mean, some lovely stuff down that way. I mean, you kind of get down south, and it's you don't think of, I mean, you think of Christmas trees at the North Pole with Santa. So
right.
North, like a north thing, not a south thing. And Maryland is kind of where you're beginning to get to the south thing.
Maryland is the south.
Yeah. You know, that I don't think of that as Christmas trees because, you know, the south is not, you don't think of that as snow covered and giant, you know, Christmas trees. But hey, I'm in favor. It can snow in Southtown.
Yeah. And the Rockefeller, the tree scout actually, he saw the tree from however he found himself in Elkton, Maryland, saw the tree, approached the family, and they were a little skeptical at first.
And why were they skeptical? They probably liked their tree.
They definitely liked the tree, but also, who knocks on someone's door and says they're a tree scout?
There's only probably one person.
It's only this guy. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
And that's his job? Is that what he does all year long, or does he do something else?
Something else, but what's his name? I just had it up. It's Eric Paws.
That's his
name? He's the head gardener at Rockefeller Center.
Really? His name is Paws?
Yep.
Like dog Paws?
P-A-U-Z-E, Paws.
Okay. Well, can we spell it P-A-W-S just to make me happy?
We could,
okay,
yes.
All right, thank you. Okay, so Mr. Paws, who's a close relative of Mr. Claus,
yes.
It's his job to go and find the tree.
Yes.
That's a pretty cool job. Even if it is only part of his job, it's still a pretty cool job.
Apparently he spotted it back in March.
Okay.
Somehow was in Maryland. And
now, you see, that's the thing. If you have a beautiful tree like that on your property, do you really want to part with it? Do they pay for it or is it donated?
It is donated.
It's donated. Well, it would be kind of cool to know that your tree was the Rockefeller tree.
That's
but
right.
It's also, you know, I don't know. Would you give up a beautiful tree like that?
For Rockefeller Center, if it was just some random person, probably not. But
for the Rockefeller?
If you're going to be that tree.
But you're never going to see a tree like that on your property again.
That's true, too.
You know?
It's a really hard call.
Yeah, I don't know, but I'm glad somebody's willing to do it.
Yeah.
I wonder how many people Mr. Paws has to ask before he gets somebody who's willing to donate the tree. I would think it wouldn't always be the first tree. I mean, if somebody came to me and said, I want to cut down your beautiful tree, I'd say, see you later, guy. You know, and there's no way. I can't imagine.
It's one of those things where he's just been doing this for so long, you know that, you know, there's my tree this year.
Well, that could be, but there is a slight possibility that sometimes you have a tree that you've planted and it's gotten too big. That happens. You know, like if you planted a tree when it was a cute little, you know, 5-foot Christmas tree sized tree, and now it's 80 feet tall and it blocks the house and it blocks the view and it's not under those circumstances, I could see parting with it. But if it was a perfect specimen tree on my front yard, I don't know.
I wonder if we can get him on the air to explain the process.
Ooh, we could. We should try to do that. That would be fun. You think he'd bring Mr. Claus along with him? Mr. Paws and Mr. Claus? That'd be fun.
It's entirely possible.
So it's up and lit, right?
Yep, it's 79 feet tall, 46 feet in diameter, about 12 tons.
12 tons?
Yeah.
How do they move it? They must put it on a flatbed truck or something.
Construction cranes and a flatbed truck, not a flatbread. I already ate this morning.
Okay, so a flatbed truck. But even so, 79 feet. How long is a flatbed truck? I don't think it's 79 feet.
I feel like most of like the longest ones are like in the 50 to 60 range.
So what do they have? The top of the tree go over the cab of the truck and stick out that way, and then they put a red flag on the other end?
They must.
Something like that. I mean, they can't just butt the trunk up to the cab and have the rest of it stick out. It would stick out over 20 feet.
Yeah.
So that's no good. So they must do that. They must put the skinny end, you know, the pointy end over the cab, I would guess. Put it over. If anybody knows, give us a call. The number here, 545-9282, outside the 732 area code. It's 1-888-545-9282.
One of those, you know, those car carriers.
Maybe. Oh, yeah. Well, those are long. Are they longer? They might be longer.
I don't think so, but maybe, you know, they use an empty one to
maybe it would
hold
be
the back end of the tree.
Maybe. But anyway, it's interesting. And I That's would also think that they would probably move it at night, you know,
probably,
when there's not
yeah.
as much traffic on the road. But in any event, it is a Norway spruce. It is 79 feet tall. It came from Maryland. And Mr. Paws, once again, has done his job. And that's pretty cool. That's pretty amazing. And are you going to go see it, or have you seen it already?
I haven't seen it yet.
You're more of a New York person than I am. I'm not really a city girl. But
it's a bit of a hike from Atlantic City, though.
Oh yes, now that you're down in Atlantic City,
yeah.
Yes. Do they have a tree in Atlantic City? Do they have a big tree?
The municipal building in our town. They actually just put it up. They did the tree lighting on Friday. Didn't go to that, but it's every night it's lit up. I actually saw it this morning on the way out of town.
And you said there's also one in Asbury Park, which is more my neck of the woods. What do you know about that one?
The one in Convention Hall was done by a local artist named Porkchop, who if you walk around town, you've seen the murals he's done.
Oh, there's murals all over all over Asbury Park.
All
so
over,
yeah.
So he did the tree, and it's actually causing a bit of commotion because the convention hall tree was actually made out of cardboard.
A cardboard tree?
It's and more of an artistic installation this year.
Okay. How did they make it out of cardboard?
Have you
seen it?
I'm looking at photos right now. It's really cool looking.
It's a cardboard tree?
Yes.
Okay. Is it in the convention center? Is it under the roof?
It's inside, yeah.
It's inside. Okay. Because if it rained on a cardboard tree, it wouldn't work very well.
Yeah.
So is it in that on the boardwalk in the middle of that tunnel? Or is
Oh, no. It's on the other end.
It's on the other end in convention. Oh, okay. Right. All right. So it's way down there. Is it in the middle where all the shops are?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Oh. All right. Well, maybe we'll take a walk down. I mean, I know.
Big star. There's like the branches.
But it's a cardboard tree.
Branches are fashioned.
Well,
it's really cool. I'm looking at it now. When I first heard the words cardboard tree, a lot of the stories were, it's not green. It looks like Amazon boxes, blah, blah.
Is it green?
No, it's not. The base is green. I don't know if this picture I'm seeing is not the finished product, but so far the way it's cut out and sculpted is actually really cool.
Okay, well, as I said, it's in our neck of the woods. Now, yesterday was the Santa run, so I wonder if Tommy saw it. The Santa run is on the boardwalk, isn't it?
I feel like it's all over town.
Well, I'm sure, you know, it includes the boardwalk at some point. I'll have to ask him. I mean, he's out in the truck, so maybe he'll call in. I know he's listening to the show, so maybe he'll call in and say if he saw the cardboard tree, because the Santa run, which was yesterday, is pretty cool. But a cardboard tree. I mean, I made a feather tree, so who am I to argue? You know, you can have an artificial tree that's kind of cool, but I also always have a real tree, too. I never just had the feather tree. And the feather tree was for a reason, because the feather tree was very Victorian and a Victorian house for a Victorian Christmas tour. So that's why. But I put a real tree out on the porch. But a cardboard tree. Well, you know, art is in the eye of the beholder, and I will reserve judgment until I get to see it in person. But it's down there in Convention Center or Convention Hall, whatever that's called, down on the far end. That's the north end of the Asbury Park Boardwalk, and we will check it out. So that's kind of cool. All right, I should give the number again. It's 545-9282 outside the 732 area code. It's 1-888-545-9282. So anything else? You've done all this Christmas tree research. Anything else you want to share with us? Jared, can't hear you.
You're getting a text message of the Rockefeller tree on the flatbed.
Really? Who's sending us that?
This is from a caller we just got. Sharon, thank you for sending. I believe she said it was being stored in Alpine, New Jersey.
Where's Alpine? Do you know
where
that is?
Way north, like Bergen County.
Oh, well, that would be. Okay, that makes more sense. Okay,
yeah.
So I wonder how long it was there. Couldn't have been there too long.
I don't think so, no.
All right, well, that's very exciting. So we're getting a text of that, so we can pay a little more attention to how that is transported, a huge, giant tree. So, okay, anything else that you want to share? You seem to be very enthusiastic about the display of Christmas trees this year, Jared.
Yeah, there's two really interesting tree stories this year. But you do have a call. Line one is Barbara from New Brunswick.
We're going to get to Barbara in just a second. I have a question for you. Are you going to have a tree this year? Last year, you didn't have one.
Our fake tree is up, and it's lit up again. And
you got a fake tree? You were decorating your cactus for a while.
Yeah, unfortunately.
The cactus didn't make it.
No cactus this year.
The cactus is gone?
Yeah, the cactus we decorated... that stayed in Texas.
You didn't tell me that.
Thought I.
You never told me your cactus stayed in Texas.
I thought I did.
No. Oh, I'm heartbroken. All right, yeah. Barbara from where? Didn't hear you.
New Brunswick.
Okay. Hey, Barb, how you doing today? Barbara.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm a little surprised that you picked up directly. I was hanging on the line for 13 minutes through your discussion of Rockefeller Center, and finally I hung up and called again. Anyway.
Oh, you know what? We're having a little technical difficulties. It didn't show up on my screen. Sorry. So what's up?
Okay. You are forgiven.
Thank you.
I have two questions.
Yes.
Number one concerns amaranth. When I drive through western Monmouth County, in various spots, I see big fields of amaranth, and I'm wondering who buys that from the farmer, and what is it used for?
Well, amaranth is a traditional grain that was used very commonly by the Native Indians. So you can use it as a grain, just like, you know, well, not exactly like, but you can grind it and use it as a flour, and you can cook with it. I would buy it on occasion back in the day when I was in graduate school and couldn't afford food. I used to bake all my own bread, and that's what I lived on, and I would sometimes throw amaranth in there at that time. So it can be used, but it's an alternative kind of grain.
Right. I was aware of that, but I'm just wondering, you know, who the farmers sell all this amaranth to.
I don't know who they sell it to directly, but you can buy it, you know, bagged in the supermarkets, and you can.
Oh, right. No, I don't want to buy it.
I'm just saying.
Because I've never noticed these fields, you know, prior to the last year or two.
Well,
so I was just wondering what the market is.
Well, farmers are always trying to diversify and find something different to grow. You know, like sunflowers are an alternative crop that sometimes farmers will switch off to. In addition to just diversifying, they also like to grow different crops because it puts different kinds of stress on the soil. So rotation of crops and growing something different in a field allows the soil to build back up again for what you're going to put back there that you grow usually. So without completely leaving the field to rest. So that's called, you know, crop rotation. So that's another reason why they're growing it
because, of course, you know, we're into December already and the fields haven't been mown, so maybe that's it.
Well, it's also, you know, that you can harvest some of this stuff late. You can harvest field corn very late because once it's out there and it's dry and it's ready to be harvested, it pretty much just sits there and you have a flexibility as to when you're going to harvest it. It's not like sweet corn that you have a very small window to harvest it to be tasty.
Uh-huh.
Once it's dry, I mean, dried field corn can stay in a giant silo for months before it's used. So once it's dry, you really are waiting for the right weather and to have all your equipment in working order, which does not always happen on the same day. So, you know, so to try to make sure everything is all connected and ready, and then they will go out and harvest. So there is some flexibility, and the weather's been mild. They may want to wait until one of the things that they may want to wait till until it's dry. I mean, not only dried in the sense of its growth habit, that it's, you know, reached the end of its cycle and it's sitting there dry, but also that what's left, that it hasn't rained and that the fibrous parts of the plants are not soggy. They would want to wait until it's dry that way, as well as dried in terms of dried seed. So, you know, they have to wait till everything's correct and then they harvest, you know, make hay while the sun shines kind of thing.
Absolutely.
So
I also wanted to mention to you that I've always admired at nurseries beauty berry, and you must like it too because it's berries are purple. Anyway, I've never seen a good-looking shrub of beauty berry. They always look straggly, etc. But I wanted to let you know that we were in Island Heights yesterday, and I saw profuse beauty berry for the first time, and it took my breath away.
Well, you haven't seen mine, and I have one that is in the corner of a raised bed. It's sort of raised. It has a rock wall around it. And I drive past it. It's to the right side of my car when I drive into the driveway. And I pull up all the way. I go past it so that when I get out of the car, it's right there. And I prune it back very hard in the spring because it gets its flowers on new growth. So you can do that. I prune it. And because it's up on a rock wall, it arches over the wall and comes down almost to the ground with these long, long arching branches covered in purple berries.
Now, oh, okay. That sounds gorgeous. And that's how this particular small stand of beauty berry was. I've just, you know, the sprays were just outstanding. Now, is this at your new house or your old house in Ocean Grove? And did you plant it or did it come with the property?
No, it's at the new house in Neptune. And I planted it because at the farm that burned down, I had one on either side of the garage. And I would see it every time I pulled in and out of the garage. And so I couldn't put it in exactly the same configuration. It just didn't work. But I put it as close to that as possible. And yes, I planted it. And since then, a girlfriend gave me another one. And I put that one closer to the road so that there's a lot of people that walk past my house. It's a great street for walking. It's kind of a country road in an urban environment, which is why we fell in love with the place. A lot of people walk by. So I have some interesting things out close to the road just for people to admire as they walk by. So the other one, the second one, is out there.
But yeah. Oh, okay, thank you.
But
thank
the trick
you. I'm
is...
I'm so glad that you have now two of them. Have a beautiful Christmas.
Thank you, but I do want to share one more thing with you. If you don't cut them back regularly, that's when they get straggly. So you have to cut them back hard, yes. That's
okay.
The trick. Okay.
I will now venture into the land of buying a beautyberry shrub, and I will now know how to take care of it so it's as gorgeous as yours and the ones that I saw yesterday.
And they're
take
very
care, Peggy.
You too. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
And they're very reliable. I mean, they're pretty easy. Once you cut them back and have them put out all that new growth, they're pretty reliable. They bloom. The flowers are kind of very small, pinkish purple, not too outstanding, but they're still cute. And if you put it in a place where you can see it up close, you can appreciate them. If it's in a distance, you won't even notice them. But if it's, you're up close, you can see them, and they're attractive. But the berries are outstanding. Now, I have a beautiful purple beautyberry up against my beautiful purple house, and I love it. So it's a great thing. All right, so let me give the phone number again. It's 545-9282. Outside the 732 area code, it's 1-888-545-9282. You can give us a call. We have four open lines, and we need to take a break, don't we, Jerry? Okay, so we're going to take a little break. So if you give us a call, we'll get you on the air as soon as we get back from this.
Now the Fox Sports New Jersey weather forecast. We have some sun this morning. Clouds roll in as we head into the afternoon, mid and upper 40s. Tonight cloudy with some light showers overnight towards morning. Low near 40. Tomorrow cloudy, warm, and becoming quite windy. The morning showers taper off, but then we have some rain in the afternoon with the cold front and windy. Upper 50s to near 60. Tomorrow night, clouds and showers taper off. Lower 40s to lower 30s. And on Tuesday, look for a mix of sun and clouds and windy lower 40s. I'm WeatherWorks Tony Salimo on Fox Sports New Jersey.
33 degrees in Central Jersey.
This is another Health Minute brought to you by St. Peter's Healthcare System.
St. Peter's University Hospital has once again been recognized as one of the nation's safest hospitals by the Leapfrog Group. St. Peter's is the only hospital in Middlesex County to earn an A grade in the Spring 2021 Leapfrog Hospital Safety Grade, which rates how well hospitals protect patients from accidents, errors, injuries, and infections. According to Leslie D. Hirsch, President and CEO of St. Peter's Healthcare System, receiving Leapfrog's highest safety grade is a great honor, as it reinforces patient confidence in the ability to receive quality medical care without compromise, even during a pandemic. The combination of evidence-based clinical practices and compassionate care is the hallmark of our Catholic mission and the reason so many patients place their confidence in St. Peter's.
To learn more about St. Peter's University Hospital, call 732-745-8600 or visit stpetershcs.com.
Fox Sports New Jersey wants to know, what would you do if you didn't have to worry about your rent or mortgage for a year? Take a vacation? Invest for retirement? How about getting those season tickets you've always wanted but could never afford? Head over to FoxSportsNewJersey.com and enter to win rent or mortgage for a year. Up to $15,000. To make those dreams come true, one lucky person will win up to $15,000 towards a year's rent or mortgage. Just go to FoxSportsNewJersey.com and enter to win. Good luck.
Brent Smith, Zach Myers, Smith and Myers, bringing their stunning acoustic show to Starland Ballroom this Tuesday, December 7th.
Sometimes goodbye is a second chance.
Brent and Zach from Shinedown, Smith and Myers originals, amazing cover songs, and even favorites from the Shinedown hit catalog.
Baby, be a simple.
Get tickets at StarlandBallroom.com. Brent and Zach from Shinedown, celebrating the music we love at Starland Ballroom.
Can I have a price check on aisle... ma'am?
Yeah.
Don't look down, but there's a giant python wrapped around your leg.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's probably nothing.
Nothing? Shouldn't I don't know, like, call someone?
No, I don't have the time. I'm late as it is. If it keeps up, I'll have it looked at.
Are you sure? That's a pretty big snake.
No, I'm fine. Thank you, though. You're very sweet.
You wouldn't ignore this. So why ignore the signs of a stroke? If you or someone you know suddenly experiences numbness of the face, arm, or leg, or sudden trouble speaking, seeing, or walking, don't wait to get help. Call 911 right away, because time lost is brain lost. To find out more, visit www.strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE. This message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
The new Talk Radio 1450 WCTC, the voice of Central Jersey. The Garden Show with Peggy Ballester-Howells.
Welcome back to The Garden Show. I'm Peggy Ballester-Howes. I'm here with...
You're here with Jared.
So, Jared, Sharon sent us this picture of the Rockefeller tree on the trailer, and we were 100% wrong.
Oh.
It's the opposite. The skinny end is at the end of the trailer, and according to this picture, there's a few feet to spare on the trailer.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, so I don't know if the other end, you can't really see the other end of the tree, the trunk end of the tree. So I don't know if that's over. It doesn't look like it. It looks like it's strapped down to the flatbed truck. It doesn't look like it's raised up in any way. So is there really such a thing as a 80-foot flatbed trailer? I don't know enough about flatbed. I guess so, because it's huge. And it has a big sign, like a banner on it that says annual 98th annual tree lighting, December 1st, 2021, which is kind of cool so that they're advertising it. And it's really interesting because the tree's covered in cones. It's covered in cones. You can see all the cones. It's a very cool tree. And I hope it enjoys itself being the center of attention. And then, of course, then it'll be gone. What do they do with the – they use the tree. They use the tree for something.
They do. The lumber is donated to Habitat for Humanity.
And who cuts it? Do you know who cuts it? There's got to be a significant amount of wood generated from a tree.
24 tons, I hope so.
Yeah.
Probably Mr. Paws probably leads that effort.
Yeah, well, good old Mr. Paws. We need to meet him. We need to have a chat with him. But yes, so it's donated to Habitat for Humanity, which is one of my favorite charitable organizations. I do a lot of shopping at their thrift stores. Someday, when I'm done and caught up with all of the projects that I need to do to finish my house, which I'm hoping I will actually do that over this winter, I would like to donate some time. There's not a lot of people that can do the tile work that I do, so for Habitat for Humanity, that's something that I could be helpful with. And of course, if they needed any landscaping help, I could help with that too. Pretty good painter. I don't know about building anything. I'm not such a good builder, but a good tiler and a good landscaper, so maybe I could volunteer some of my services for that as soon as I get caught up. But it's nice to know that that's where the wood from this tree goes. So, okay, so there are other things that are going on in the garden that you need to pay attention to. Did you notice that? Oh, tomorrow is supposed to be 63 degrees. Are you aware of that?
I was not.
There is a caller. Who have we got?
It's Michael from Metuchen.
Hey, Michael. How are you today?
And yourself, how are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful today. I'm very excited about getting my tree.
Good. Well, that's always a happy time.
Yes, it is.
And it's really important to cut the bottoms.
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
People underestimate that. And to watch the water.
Yes, very important.
It's very important.
Never go below the cut end or it dries up right away.
Yeah, and then it's hard to take it out with all the decorations on and cut it again and put it back in.
I would say virtually impossible.
Peggy.
Yes.
Your witch's hat.
Yes.
You looked it up and it said a chinois. Chinois is French for Chinese, and sometimes they're also called Chinese hats.
Oh, didn't know that.
Yes, and you can get one. They're always lying around, but the reasonably large ones in H Mart. Do you remember where H Mart is?
No.
If you go up from your street up to Route 27... make a left, follow it into New Brunswick, go across the bridge, and then down, you know, on 27 where Highland Park ends and Edison starts?
Yes.
You go about three or four blocks after that to just before Plainfield Avenue, and it's on the left-hand side where the Tops used to be.
Oh, and
exactly the same spot.
And what's that called?
H-Mart. It's a Korean grocery store, very similar to the Lotta Market you go to in Metuchen, but it has more of an emphasis on East Asian food because the South Asian population is higher in Metuchen than it is where the H Mart is, which is sort of a concentration of East Asian population. So but they're basically the same store. And then when you walk in the door, the persimmons we talked about before.
Yes.
the dried persimmons are on the right-hand side just when you walk in, and then you go, after you're in, all the way down to the right, to the last aisle, and then about three-quarters of the way up on the left-hand side of the aisle. That's where they keep those.
Well, I will pass that on to my friend who wants to buy one and for his son. I have mine. Mine was actually, believe it or not, a gift from my board operator, not Jared, a gentleman, a young man named Jason, who was really nice. He predated Jared.
Uh-huh.
He found it. One day I came into the studio, and there it was, sitting on my desk under my microphone.
Did you get it with one of those pastels that are like a reverse of the shape of the chinois itself?
Sort of. I have seen it. It's actually more tubular. The ones that that I grew up with was a similar pointy shape, and they have those available. But the one that came with my gift was more cylindrical when rounded at the bottom. And, of course, the rounded part fits in the bottom of
and
the
it goes perfectly. All the way down to the bottom.
Yes.
So
but,
that's good enough then.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It works. And I've always been confused, Michael, when you say mortar and pestle. Which is the mortar which is the pestle?
Is the part at the bottom. Like when you see in the military when they're fighting, they shoot these little portable bombs in things called mortars. So the mortar is the one always sitting on the ground that you put the little thing in to shoot across, far away. And the pestle is the thing in your hand.
And now I know that because when I was looking up these chinois, the pointy colanders, and I came across chinois, they were described as the strainer with pestle. So I was like, oh, that makes it clear to me. So I'll never forget again. If it's the strainer with the pestle, then it's the mortar with the pestle, and the pestle's the thing in your hand, not the container. So that helped clear that up for me because it was always just one of those things. You just called the two of them a mortar and a pestle, and it took forever for me to remember which was which. But now I've got it.
It's reasonable that would happen.
Yeah, yeah. So and I've got it all straight now, which is a good thing.
Did you ever have your persimmons at home ripen?
Okay, I'm so glad you mentioned that because I went home that day and I picked a whole bunch of them. And when I got there to pick them, they were already slightly wrinkly.
Right, but they have to wait till they're like jelly-like on the inside before they taste good.
They were, and it was interesting because I tried one right away and it was dramatically better than I had tried before.
Oh, yeah. Ripe persimmons. It tastes sort of like a fig, but better.
Well,
and it has the consistency of like thick jam on the inside, or like a very, very ripe plum.
And that's about the way it was. I can say that it was like that, and it was. It did not have that weird tingling.
Astringent taste.
Yeah, astringent taste and weird, like my tongue puts on a fur jacket. It didn't taste. It didn't feel like that at all.
Right.
And so it was quite edible, but it wasn't good. I just think it's that my tree grew from a seed, and it's just not.
Well, that's possible.
Yeah.
But you might let some sit a little longer and see if they even get better.
I tried, and they almost immediately rotted. So.
Then maybe you're right. Maybe it's just the variety that grew was not very good.
Yeah, it was probably a seedling. And, you know, the seedlings, some are just like with apples. Some come up good and some come up not so good. I think this was one that was not so good. But it was an interesting experiment, and I appreciate the tips. And, yes, definitely it did get rid of that astringent weirdness that was made it completely inedible. So you could eat them if you wanted, but, you know, I probably wouldn't. But they're still beautiful on the tree. When the tree drops all its foliage, all of the little orange balls are still on there.
And right. If you look at old Japanese paintings from hundreds of years ago of winter scenes, there are often persimmons trees of the kind that look like the big acorns without the caps.
Right, right, right.
Those kind. Just sitting, the trees are black, like you painted them black. And the orange are pumpkin orange, and they're just in the snowstorms, and they look nice in the paintings.
Yeah, they are. They have an ornamental value, and I'm enthusiastic about anything that creates interest after all the traditional summer flowers are gone. So, so I really enjoy it from that perspective. Yeah. So,
but now, I have a friend who has a poinsettia question for you.
Yes,
and he's going to try and call. He's in Hawaii.
Okay.
And I told him he should call because there are at least two other people from Hawaii who call this show. There's Marty from Metuchen from Monroe, who also spends time in Hawaii.
Yes, that's true.
And the woman who called about her point cities that we're doing very nicely, if you remember a while back.
Yes, that's true, yes.
So here's his problem. He moved his poinsettias from one place to another, and the leaves basically fell off. And so he was wondering if they were going to grow back. And I think I remember you saying one time that once the leaves fall off, it's hard for them to grow back in poinsettias. But I could be wrong about that.
Okay. I have a couple questions, Michael. Are they in containers?
I think he's going to try and call and talk to you some more about this himself if he can. But for him, it's 8 o'clock in the morning. Here is 3 o'clock in the morning for him. So he wasn't sure he'd be able to call.
Yeah, that is a little tricky. Yes.
So
I
think that they used to be something probably in the ground where he was before, but I'm not sure because he moved. And then in his new place, I think they're in the ground now.
Okay, well,
and Hawaii, if you remember, is the reason the person's poinsettias grew so well and she didn't have to put them in a closet was because it's the same latitude as Mexico City where they come from.
Right. So I would say if they're in the ground and they're used as an outside ornamental, if they lost their leaves, I think there's a good chance if he cuts them back that they will resprout.
Oh, okay, good. If he doesn't call and talk to you, then I'll tell him that. But he said he's going to try and call in. Because he also had a plant that he showed me a picture of over the computer that he didn't know what it was, that I said if he called you, you might be able to identify it for him.
Well, I will be happy to try.
Yeah.
So
where he is in Hawaii, it's rainy, because Hawaii has the same weather more or less every day wherever you are, but different parts of different islands have different climates. Because, you can go skiing in Hawaii.
Yes, I know. There's mountains, it's an interest. I've never been. I'm afraid that if I ever went, Michael, I'd never come back.
Well, Hawaii is supposed to be very nice. I was there passing through one time, but didn't spend much time. It's supposed to be really nice there, yeah.
Well,
I think you would like it because of all the garden stuff. But they have a problem with invasive animals and plants because it was a unique biosphere until people came and from the West, because the Polynesians who came a long time ago and they brought their own stuff with them, which disrupted the environment, but the island had sort of settled down to that. But now it's sort of disrupted again.
Well, that is unfortunate, but that's something that happened.
But you would like it because you could garden all year. Because you say you like having winter so you can stop, but I think you would adjust to that.
You're probably right.
Because it would not be cold and rainy and snowy all day.
That's
unless you picked a spot that was cold and rainy and snowy.
And I would not pick a spot that was cold and rainy and snowy. That's
because you
sure.
could go to different islands, find the weather you liked, and stay there.
Well, that sounds like a fun thing to try to do, but I think I'm stuck in Neptune for the duration. But we'll see.
It's not exactly stuck. Where you are is very nice.
Yeah, it is. Actually, Michael, I'm probably the happiest I've ever been in terms of that because
Good.
Everything is manageable. I can do it all. And it was a blank canvas, so it's all mine. And that's fun. I'm really happy there. And the big farm, the 10 acres we had, was wonderful and a great place to raise my kids, without question. But it was also sometimes overwhelming. This I don't find overwhelming. This is manageable. So that makes me very content.
And may every day only be better.
Well, thank
you. And happier.
Well, thank you so much. This is the same to you. All right. So you have a wonderful holiday. If I don't talk to you, it's only
me too. And so if he calls, his name is Tom.
Okay. Well, that's easy for me to remember.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Have a good night.
You too. Okay. Do you need me? Are you waving your hands?
Yeah, I have about a minute. I don't know if you want to talk to Jack Otterbein.
Oh, sure. Perfect. Hey, Jack. How you doing?
I got 2 minutes for you.
I have about a minute left, so what?
Okay. Calling to say hello. You're stopping over today?
Yeah, Tommy's here. He usually runs on Sunday morning, but he ran in the Santa race in Asbury Park yesterday, so he's not running this morning. And so he wants to see your place because I say how wonderful it is. So you'll get
to
see.
Well, tell him to run over while you're on
on the air. It's only 2 miles, 2.5 miles.
Now, he's sitting in the truck. He has Wi-Fi in the truck. He's sitting in the truck, and he's playing on his computer. But we will be over immediately after the show, so I'm excited.
Okay.
I will see you then.
We'll be here.
All right.
We'll be here. Thank you.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. So the number.